You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Mental Health Monday, and we get to welcome back a favorite guest for Mental Health Monday. We're going to dig into exploring more emotions because we went through a list of emotions last year and we realized I'm a complex person. I have more emotions than that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that more in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for your support of The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
All right. We are digging into more emotions. We're going to talk with Deaconess Heidi Gaiman. She's the author of Emotions and the Gospel, Created for Connection. Fantastic series we covered last year. If you didn't catch it, just go back in the archives and you can find it there on the Coffee Hour on KFUO or on the app as well. Also author of Finding Hope from Brokenness to Restoration. Heidi, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been so long. It's good to hear your voices.
Thank you. It is good to have some time again with you and to talk about emotions. I learned a ton in that series. I even got a sticker for completing it.
Yes.
I got
emotions too, right?
I understand my emotions.
Shooting star.
Yeah, that's so good.
I got a certificate. No, a sticker, not a certificate.
We didn't
I like a good certificate too, but
we talked about doing
that's
that.
True. We did.
Should make one up.
We are going to explore more emotions. We've got a four-part series here on Mental Health Monday to take a look at some more emotions. And I went through some that you've written about on your website, HeidiGaiman.com, and looked at some and said, okay, here are the, top eight? Let's narrow it down to four. It gave everybody free, opportunity to narrow it down. And then I said, okay, well, we're going to do the ones I want to anyway. So
that's fine. You're in charge.
So the first one I chose for this series is wonder.
My favorite. I'm so excited.
It seems so, I don't know. It seems so elusive. Like, what is
ambiguous.
It? Wonder. What is it? Ambiguous.
What does this mean?
Oh, it's so funny. I always picture it with a filter, like a camera filter, where there's those little crystals or starry, fairy lights, all around the person.
Yes.
Wonder. Right.
I always think of unicorns and stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's just.
I was going to say magical is maybe the word, but that's always a hard word when you're connecting it with theology. So I didn't want to start with that.
Yeah, totally unicorns in my brain.
We'll talk about why those things feel connected.
That wasn't where I was at all with this one.
Man. Andy's more grounded.
Wonder
no fairy lights, no unicorns.
Oh okay. Experiencing it differently, I say.
But I can respect that.
Okay, good. Good. Glad to hear. We will expand your lens. That's what we'll do today.
In what ways is wonder connected to curiosity? And see, curiosity was the part for me that, yes. But yep. I don't have a visual for that other than a giant question mark.
Yeah.
All right. So how is wonder connected to curiosity?
Well, part of it is because we are interconnected, within our psyche, and that includes a body, a heart, a mind, a soul, the wholeness of us. Curiosity and that cognitive component, whether conscious or unconscious, is extremely connected to this emotion coming forward for us, right? So we have a lot of emotions that live underneath the surface in our lives, and we talk about that a lot in the book. And emotional stacking and the way that emotions kind of overflow at times and things like that. However, wonder is not really one of those under the surface emotions. We're not going to have hidden wonder deep down inside of us. I think as Lutherans, we can appreciate, right? The idea that there is a sense of spirituality, a sense of God, a sense of awe, way down deep in our soul. But the idea of wonder is basically that maybe those connections coming to the surface for us. And so in that, there is a cognitive component to the emotion of wonder, which is, mental processes, moving through the networks within our brain and making us more aware of something in front of us. And so curiosity is the mechanism that God has inside of us to bring some awareness and then to hold it a little bit, right? Because you could say oh, there's a bird in that tree and be a little bit well, it's okay, interesting, disinterested, whatever. Curiosity is the mindfulness of being with that for just a second longer. And so then wonder is built off of that curiosity. Curiosity is the building block then of wonder to be awed or to be in that sense of awareness of the divine, which makes wonder a spiritual emotion, or to be it with that sense of the spirituality of like the connectedness of like the universe and God and man. And I mean, all of these deep, meaningful concepts are from that building block of curiosity and being with that for just a moment.
I love talking about this because there's a lot of different facets to what it means to wonder, the emotion of wonder. And, you know, as we're talking about this as an emotion, I'm not sure I ever considered wonder as an emotional thing, more of like a state of being, I suppose. But
well, you probably, I don't mean to interrupt you, Sarah, but like
no,
I'm guessing, especially as just like a solid Lutheran that you are, you probably really considered it in its cognitive components, right? Right. Like that's where we like to live, especially in the Lutheran Church of Missouri, but in kind of mainstream thinking churches that have like systematic theology and things like that. We tend to stay a little bit in that cognitive realm. We don't have a lot of theology of emotion, which is what I was trying to bring to bear with this book that's a little bit different. The book is not a how-to with emotions, right? It's a, like, let's consider God and his, what he gives us about emotions in the word. So sorry to interrupt, but I think that might be one, not to therapeutize you or anything, but on a Sarah's psyche, maybe.
I mean, to just conclude that tangent, there is a difference between like experiencing emotions and thinking about
the emotion.
So that is a very valid thing for us to be talking about here as well. Because I like thinking about emotion, but feeling them is a whole different thing. But anyway, back to wonder. Does everybody experience wonder as an emotion? I feel like there's some people that maybe live in this space a little bit easier than others, but is this a universal emotion that we all experience at some point?
You know, it's interesting because it is, I really believe, uniquely connected to spirituality, and a lot of research shows that too. And so I think your comfort level with that is going to impact this emotion, and at least your sense of processing it and allowing that forwardness of it to like be in the experience of wonder. Wonder is a little bit what you and I would likely consider to be a really pleasant emotion. Like it can be spiritually transformative, right? And we understand that to be the like Holy Spirit working inside of us. But for other people, it may or may not be as comfortable depending on their experience with spirituality then. And we see that, I mean, as a person who specializes in spiritual trauma, I am endlessly not surprised, but almost amazed at how deeply these emotions and many emotions across the board are impacted by our experience of spirituality. And so wonder has three components in particular that we know from research so far. I mean, there's but it's helpful to understand that there's a sensory component, a cognitive component, and then that spiritual component uniquely. And so the sensory aspect of it that I think is also going to heavily impact our experience of this. So if we all have a window of tolerance, right? And some of us are more highly sensory sensitive than other people. Our nervous systems are both set up differently and then also experience the world differently. And so depending on that window of tolerance, then wonder as a sensory experience and what we're willing to let in sensory-wise is going to impact our experience of wonder, which I think is really cool because I think since it is connected to spirituality, and we see, especially in the Gospels, which we can go into probably after the break, that God meeting humans in this way, that he knows that, you know, our minds are curious, that we are curious beings, but he also knows that we have unique sensory experiences is one way we understand that God meets us both communally, but also individually.
I'm curious if there's a relationship between wonder and awe.
I mean, so the definition that I created for wonder based on putting all of these things together and components of research, but then also looking at the scriptural text, is an emotion connected to curiosity with a twinge of awe when confronted with something unexpected and not entirely explainable. So this is a little bit different. And I think that's why it's a little cognitive, too, is that sense of like trying to explain something and trying to understand something. And in this way, wonder connects a lot of pieces of us to be participating in the emotion which makes it such a full emotion. Then it contains, you know, like I said, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Awe then is, again, that like uniquely divine component of it, or at the very least, like big universe-ness component of it, kind of like across time and space, and the kind of bigger things that are outside of our understanding. And so I think that's one thing that makes wonder so pleasant for so many of us, like really astounding, if you will, like a little surprising, at least, if not shocking. And it does, I think it, if you have some kind of solid relationship with God, with the divine, particularly with Jesus Christ, that gives you comfort, then your experience of that awe is going to be really comforting. But Andy, I think that idea of awe being present with wonder, so if I'm curious about something and I stick with it longer, enough for it to give me a sense of the largeness of the universe, my connectedness in it, and God trying to meet me, but I have had a challenging relationship with either that God or spirituality or bigness and the universe and all of those things that go into it, and I don't know something comforting like Jesus Christ as the intercessor for my sin and shame, then you can see how awe might be more that fear-based awe, a little bit frightening, and then wonder would be more uncomfortable. But I think for those of us who have great comfort in Jesus Christ, wonder is something that once we know about it, we want to start to do some exercises so that we can have a little bit more of it in our life, because it also contains this seriousness but silliness within it. And so there's many dialectics, if you will, or dualities in the emotion of wonder that we don't get in other emotions, or we don't normally practice culturally.
Speaking of practice, we'll get some practice for wonder in just a moment. It's Mental Health Monday with Deaconess Heidi Gaiman. We are exploring more emotions today. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Sharing our faith can sometimes be hard, especially face-to-face. That's one of the reasons KFUO is here, to share God's word globally on your behalf and to equip you with the knowledge, confidence, and words to share Jesus yourself. This Share-a-thon, make a gift to KFUO Radio so we can continue sharing Christ to the world. Donate online at kfuo.org/share-a-thon. That's kfuo.org/share-a-thon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Mental Health Monday. We are exploring more emotions with Deaconess Heidi Gaiman. She's the author of Emotions and the Gospel Created for Connection. Had a fantastic series on that last year. Today, we're exploring some emotions not included in that book, but certainly on her website, HeidiGaiman.com. Lots of good writing there. And so today we are exploring wonder, and we get to practice. You talked a little bit about practice. We'll get to that in a little bit. Maybe some more examples of wonder. Yeah. What does that look like? Well, yeah. What are some examples of wonder?
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I like started my article basically with my like considering my own experience of this. And like I said, it can be a little bit different for different people. And the one thing I noticed about wonder and then was confirmed by the research I was finding was that wonder especially is strongest when there's an underlaying of challenging things around us, right? I think that instigates that surprise aspect of wonder. You know, if I'm walking around and I'm in an art museum and I'm like, whoa, that's cool, I might experience like something like sort of like wonder. But like if I am somewhere that I least expect, right, beauty, the abstract, right? Like these big thinking ideas that are connected to divine, God-connected experiences, then it's going to be a little bit of a surprise. And that surprise is a unique piece of wonder that it takes us a little off guard. And for me, I really connected this to like a childhood experience, especially kids are so good at wonder. Number one, they just don't have all the armors and the barriers and stuff put up in their systems quite yet. And they come at different times and in different ways, but they're not blocking, you know, and part of that is God's design, because kids don't have quite the awareness, or should not have quite the awareness that we do as adults of the hard, challenging things of the world, right? We all have that kind of age of awareness come in somewhere between 8 and 12 where we're like, oh, like this is not what I thought life was going to be. I mean, we have to wrestle with that a little bit. It comes in earlier for some kids, but that's something we're trying to preserve when we talk about preserving childhood. So kids do have this like little bit of like stunted awareness of the challenges of the world. Don't get me wrong, they do experience it, but it's different. And so their hearts are a little more open to experiencing wonder and being surprised by things. Everything's kind of new to them too. So things are going to be a little bit more surprising, which brings in wonder then too. So my example is Christmas morning, especially like that just sense of like there's a little bit of awe, right? Remember the twinge of awe of like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, it's a little bit like mind blowing when you see like presents. And it doesn't have to even be exotic, but for kids, the idea that the space that was kind of normal daily life is now taken over by something different. And it does have that sense of like connectivity, right? Someone cared about me, or that there is like a universal kind of celebration in Christmas and stuff too, which brings, you can see how complicated it is, right? Like there's all these layers that bring us into a space of wonder. And so I think Christmas morning is one that comes to mind for me. And especially I gave the example of when we moved into our house when I was a child, and it was like just such a mess, right? Like lots of construction, bare floors, a lot of like half ripped up wallpaper we were trying to take off, and just ugliness around every corner. But then Christmas morning came and it was like, whoa, the contrast. And I think that's one thing that can bring wonder out then. If we're especially honestly at a time in our life that's really challenging, and when we do the practice, we'll talk about this a little bit more and stretch it, but like are able to do just a tiny bit of mindfulness exercises, which can be challenging when our world is challenging. But when we can be with God, with his word, with what he's doing out there in the world, just a little bit, and then we get to see where he brings beauty into a complete mess of a universe. And sometimes that is so intimately connected to our lives that that can be really spiritually growth and wisdom oriented for us when we get to experience wonder, especially in challenging times. So that would be my example, I guess, Christmas morning, and then times that are really hard when we have the opportunity to settle on some beauty. So like maybe a walk in the woods, or like gathering around a table and being in that sense of connectedness, and a little bit of wonder can sometimes come in, like a little bit of awe of what God is doing in our life, because it was so hard for a moment and we got to be outside of that for a second.
I share all of my examples, but we'd be here forever. So we're going to move on, because I love this space of wonder and thinking about, Heidi, as you're talking, all of the examples that are in my own head. The ocean is definitely one. Going to the ocean as a kid and
mountains.
Being like, yeah, like, how is this body of water so big? What is even happening here? It's just, yeah, it's great.
No, right? Like, I mean, we live on Lake Michigan, right? And so every day, I'm like, why is it so large?
How does this work?
Right. And like this, and like someone controls, right? So that's like that bigness is part of that awe that happens. And then you and I know God, and we know Jesus Christ, and we know the maker of the waves. And so our sense of wonder then is so connected that our experience of wonder can be that much stronger, because we have that comfort in it, and we can apply it to our life too. Like those waves are controlled by the same God who's in charge of my life. Like that just gives me like spirit shivers, because like we can connect it, because it's like God has given us so much revelation of the way that he is not far off in our life. And that's really what wonder is at its core, is that God is not far off and his beauty is not far off in this hard world.
So let's talk a little bit more about how this is a spiritual emotion. Because we've talked about how it's a sensory thing and the cognitive thing, but let's dig a little bit more into how this is a spiritual emotion.
Sure. I would say, like, from first a secular sense, and then we'll go into a little bit of the biblical text. First is what you just said about staying at the ocean, or Andy said staying at the mountains, right? Something large, it is a little bit outside of us. And that spirituality, no matter what else it is about connectedness and meaning. And so there is, even just standing in something that's so large, that's about my space in the universe is small in juxtaposition with that thing. And so there is a spirituality in that sense for our systems as humans. It's like really being with our humanness for a second and what that means. In scripture, it's super interesting because in the Old Testament, when it references wonder, and in Hebrew, it's often connected to that, you know, fear aspect of awe that we hear about even catechetically, right? Like to fear, love, and trust in God. And as much as we'd like to like take apart, like Jesus makes God not scary for us, true story. But we see that really clearly actually in this emotion of wonder and the word wonder in scripture, because in the Old Testament God, and when you see wonder being part of the Old Testament God, there is still that very clear understanding of the fear relationship with God. Now, when Jesus comes in Greek and in the incarnation and post-resurrection, but especially in the Gospels, the word wonder then scripturally is different. And it's used quite a bit in, especially we just read the Easter stories. And there, it's so often the word wonder in the gospel Easter stories that my husband, Dave, who's a pastor, he preached an entire message just on the word wonder one year because it came up so often. And so like Matthew 15, there's a passage about Jesus healing. Verses 30 and 31 says, "And great crowds come to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others." Note how many hard things there are in that, right? "They put them at his feet and he healed them, so that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking." And so there's this much less fear-based component of wonder, where it's very often connected to things like healing, or God's, in particular, touch coming down from heaven to humanity and that connection between God and man, particularly in the person and work of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. But you see the difference in that than Old Testament-wise and how the incarnation makes a huge impact on that word.
All right, with about 2 minutes or so, how do we learn more about wonder or maybe some practice you might have for us?
Yeah, it's interesting because like all emotions, I'd like to believe we can manufacture them and we have like a little control on them. But in reality, emotions are part of so many layers of our system that we don't manufacture them. And wonder is particularly one of those, I think, because it is intrinsically spiritual. And you and I, as believers, know that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so, but we don't wrangle the Holy Spirit to do what we want, you know, right. Instead, we have an openness for the Spirit to work. And I would say that's one thing, to just like believe in wonder and look for wondrous things, you know, to look for God meeting human flesh all around us, for God coming into the universe. That is where we find wonder. And so to have that just base openness is one thing we do. The other two things I'll mention before we run out of time is to work on staying with something longer than we normally would, right? Like we live in a technology-driven culture, and even if that's not a huge part of our life, it does influence our life and things move quickly. And so if we slow down a little bit, we are much more likely to note that thing after whatever's hard and what's beautiful, and to see those dualities in life a little bit more and be with something unexpected. The last thing I would say is what Sarah brought up at the beginning, is that let's get out of our thoughts a little bit. Like let's, you know, even like just notice the difference between thinking about your emotion and experiencing it. And even one way to do this that I think is a little more comfortable when we talk about this for believers in Jesus is like, just bring it to God. Like, let God be the thinker of our emotions, you know, bring it with him in prayer and in his word, but like, let the experience of the emotion be true in your system before we just move it straight up to our brain. And so those are some ways that we can allow a little bit more of the experience of wonder in our life. And God, he connects. And so like, it's on God. This is another thing that God just works in, but that he can bring quite beautiful awe and curiosity into our life through the emotion of wonder.
So in other words, you can experience something and say, that feels weird or unusual, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, good call. Like me, look a little more open-hearted spirit. Like, that goes a long way.
Wonder. All right, you can read more. We'll share the link to the post on Heidi's website as well in the notes today. Heidi, thank you so much for helping us explore wonder today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Mental Health Monday on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.